Turn to your Bibles tonight to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Right there at the end of the chapter. Tonight we're going to talk about growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God. And this has to be one of the most important things in the Bible that you can possibly experience. The Bible says, we'll pick it up in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us with what we're going to see tonight in the Scripture. Father, we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. It is a great desire today, Father, to be able to preach that whereby You'd be pleased, and preach so that all that You want to say to us will be said. Father, tonight we pray for Charles and Barrett Huffman, and we ask You, please, for them. They've just been struggling with health concerns, and now she has pneumonia. Heavenly Father, we pray that You will surely minister to her and strengthen her body. He's been losing weight and can't explain it. Father, we pray that You'll strengthen them by Your grace and give their doctors wisdom in their treatment so that the health at least can stabilize. Pray for Edith, Father, that her condition will stabilize, where she's strong enough and well enough to be able to go on to her new place there in Katy with her family. Father, we're really appreciate being able to talk to You about these things, because we know You do hear, do answer prayers. Father, we pray for Hal Roscoe, and we ask You, Lord, bless his work up there in New York and strengthen him by Your grace. May he lead well in accordance with Your will. Now, Father, please, tonight we know that You have definitely something for us in this Scripture and in these passages that we see in the Bible. Help us, Father, to understand and comprehend and be able to live by these things that we see. For we ask You to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm convinced that the reason that some Christians don't grow or grow improperly or incorrectly is they don't grow in the knowledge of God. For instance, young people that grow up in our church, in any church, but here, because we've seen you grow up here, it is real easy to grow in the knowledge of the people that are in church, to grow in the knowledge of your parents and family's expectation, to grow in the knowledge of the church's expectation, but not to grow in the knowledge of God. You see, since God can't be seen, and for the most part can't be felt, and can't be comprehended in any of your natural faculties, it's very difficult to grow in the knowledge of God. If you grow in the knowledge of your spouse, that's easier to do. You can see this person. You get to know their peculiarities, their desires, their ambitions, their concerns, their limitations, their strengths, all of that. It's easy because you're around each other and you see each other all the time. Well, may I tell you something? You're with God more than you are with any person that's in this room. But you're not always aware that you're with Him more than you are with the people in this room, because the things that are out there in life concern you. And so he says, but grow, Peter says in verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now he wants you to know Him. But if you're very busy about knowing politics and knowing news and knowing what's going on with all your friends and knowing the local ropes on how to get along with folks and all that, you're going to deny yourself the opportunity to know God. And it's easy to do. We all have been there. Some of us are there right now. And the truth of the matter is, we don't want, according to this Scripture, we don't want to get to a place where we are content to know that we are saved and then content to just live with that much knowledge of God. We need to get beyond that and come to a place where we say, listen, God, if You want me to know You, and you're going to see in the Scripture that He does, if You want me to know You and You're trying to reveal Yourself to me, and you're going to see in the Scripture that He does, then I want to know all You want me to know about You. I want to be so intimately aware of all of your personality, your dealings in my life, your strengths, your capacity, your will, all those things. Then I want to know all of that, and so it's very important. The Bible tells us right here that we are to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I remember a couple years ago, talking to several pastors. I was wondering why it is that teens grow up in church and stray. And the truth of the matter is, they said, or one or two of them said, they're growing up on their parents' faith. They're growing up meeting their parents' expectation. They're growing up knowing the local conduct. But they don't really know God. And when they get off on their own, let's say in a college environment or in marriage or a business environment, and it's not the same as it was growing up with mom and dad, they don't really know God. And so we really want to concentrate on this. Now, you've seen here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that we are to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to just look again at verse 17, because we're going to make a comment about this in a minute, but we won't have to turn back here to make that comment. Verse 17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before," those that are the things that Peter's been writing about, "beware, lest ye also," watch it, "being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but," so there's the contrast, "grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Okay? Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And notice, again, this admonition to grow in the knowledge of God. Colossians chapter 1. Paul in verse 9 is praying for the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now look at verse 10. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." You see it? There it is again. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that there is more to know about God than you can know in a lifetime? Well, of course there is. And He's going to reveal a lot of Himself to us by His grace in the ages to come. But do you think that there is more that you can know about God than you know right now? Oh, by all means, by all means. And that's why he says to the Colossians, increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, there are people that have been saved 60 years. And they'll say, "Well, you know, I'm kind of content. I've learned a lot about God." Edith is a real good example. She's going to be 95 in October. And she's been saved most of all those years. She's been saved, I don't know. I don't remember when she was, how old she was when she got saved. 75 years? Something like that. She's been saved. And we were talking to her yesterday at the hospital, and she smiled and talking about loving God and walking with God, and listen, now, even now, getting to know more about God. That's really good. That's really good. So we need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Go back to 2 Peter, and this time go to chapter 1, and look at what Peter says, where knowledge of God fits in this process of growth. Look here in verses 5 and 6. We're going to look at some other things, other verses, in just a minute. But look at verses 5 and 6. When you get saved by faith. Now what does he say? "And beside this," 2 Peter 1, 5, "giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." That means where God gets in there and starts cleaning up your life and giving you some spiritual strength. "Add to your faith virtue," watch it, "and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance," and so forth and so on. Do you see, knowledge is a foundational thing about God that really contributes to your spiritual growth. And so he says, you got to add knowledge. You don't know all there is to know about God tonight. You know a few things that you've learned about God. But these things that he wants us to know about God are things that we learn personally. These are things that we experience together, you know, in our relationship with the Lord as we walk with Him, as we talk with Him, as we study, as we listen to preaching and teaching, as we read, and as we experience how God deals with us in our lives. So we have seen in three places in the New Testament an admonition to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. To grow in the knowledge of God. And you start that from the earliest age of when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, right on until Jesus comes to get you and takes you to heaven. Now, you know something? The reason He gives us that admonition is that there are definite benefits in our lives in growing in the knowledge of God. And we want to look at some of these benefits. And we saw one of those benefits in 2 Peter 3:17. And that benefit of growing in the knowledge of God is steadfastness. Steadfastness. Beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. We have watched time and time again people that are growing up and then they are led away with the error of the wicked. And if I understand these two verses here together, the greatest defense to being led away of the wicked is an increased knowledge of God. A more intimate relationship, a better walk with God, a knowing God in the way that He wants you to know Him. When you don't know God and the wicked present themselves in all those ways that the devil wraps sin, it is real easy to go, wow. Wow, that is great. We see it time and time again, infatuation among young people. I'm going to say it again, infatuation among young people. They find somebody that's interested in them, and I'm telling you, it's like the brain drops out. It's all about you and not so much about God. And any of you that have gone through that stage of your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the thing is, you've got to have a greater knowledge of God than you do of anybody else that's expressing interest in you so that you can find the person eventually that God wants you to be with. Very important. Now this steadfastness, it keeps you from being led away with the error of the wicked. You know what happens? As you grow in the knowledge of the Lord, you get better at being able to spot the error of the wicked. Jesus Christ was never caught off guard by the Pharisees who tried to trip Him up. He never was. He always knew their shenanigans. He always knew what they were thinking. He could always tell when they were setting a trap. And so He caught them in their trickery trying to trip Him up. You know something? He was very well acquainted with His Father. Obviously, He's God manifest in the flesh. But that Bible says that every morning He got up and opened His ear to His Father and was instructed by His Father. And so He knew. He could smell a rat. He could tell when something wasn't right. He could tell when somebody was trying to mislead Him. Now listen, when you know God, then you know error. When you read 1 John, and you read about all that John is saying there, he says, hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When you know God, you know what's truth. When you know God, you know what comes from God. And when somebody portrays something to you that they want to sell you as godly, that's not really the truth, you say that something is wrong here. It's not right. So it really keeps you from being led away. Now look, you're in 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 16. This is Peter talking about Paul. He says in verse 15, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. How do you think people that were professing Christians got into the denominational churches that have led them away from the truth of God's words. You know how they did it? They didn't know the God of the Bible. They knew the God that was being presented to them by men. And those are not the same God. And so we have all kinds of offshoots of things that talk about themselves being the right kind of churches. And you know what they are? They're unlearned and they're unstable. They've wrested the scriptures and they've destroyed themselves. And to keep you from getting caught in that, the best defense is to get to know God. All right, benefits of growing in the knowledge of God. First are steadfastness. Here's another one. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is tremendous here. It's a good defense to know God. It's a good defense because you know the real thing. You'll spot the wrong thing quick when you know the real thing. But look at this in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says in verse 2, watch this now. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Could you use more grace than you have right now? Could you use more peace than you have right now? All right. He says, I'm not going to add it to you, but multiply it to you. How? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God. Isn't that amazing? And of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Do you see that? Do you see what you're reading there? God has divine power. And with His divine power, He is able to, or really, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The first two mentioned were grace and peace. And those things that His divine power has given us are multiplied to us through the knowledge of Him. That's how you get them. I just stew on that for a minute and think about that. You mean to tell me that if I will take time during the day to get to know God better, I'll increase in grace? And if I'll take time to really get to know God better, I'll increase in peace? And all things that pertain to life and godliness? Yes, that's exactly what He said. That's exactly what He said. Well, that's a tremendous thing. Because I know about you and you know about me from our prayer requests and the other things in our conversations that we could all use with a bigger dose of all those things that pertain unto life and godliness. And He says, my divine power has already given those to you and you will avail yourselves of those if you get to know me better. Wow. That's something. You need a little more power against temptation in your life? Get to know God better. You need more peace when everything in your life is unsettled? Get to know God better. You need a little more assurance about the decisions that you're making to make sure that the right decisions? Everybody that wrote a paper, I ask everybody that went to Uganda, write me a paper about why your life will never be the same. Every single one of them said the high point of the trip was the night that we didn't get to go to the island. Because we had to stay at Brother Stinson's house and he taught us a little devotional on the will of God and everybody mentioned that devotion. And it's been a life changer for them. It's been a life changer for all of us. Because in there he said, you don't need to know the will of God for your life a year or 10 from now. All you got to know is what the will of God for your life is today. And do that. Would you like to have more assurance that you're walking in the will of God today? Get to know God better. That's what he says. That's it. Listen, the benefit of going in the knowledge of God is steadfastness. It'll keep you from losing your ground. And it's spiritual provision. Everything you need for life and godliness is in the knowledge of God. Wow. I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to meditate on this a while because that is a very profound statement. He said, get to know me better and all those things. I've already given them to you. Everything you need for life and godliness, it's right there. You get to know me better, you'll see just how to get a hold of it. I'm like, man, that is too good. All of these things are essential to spiritual well-being and growth. All of those things He's given you. And they're all in the knowledge of God. Here's another one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The benefit of growing in the knowledge of God, steadfastness, will give you a defense against, you know, being led away with the error of the wicked. I'm convinced every young person in here, if you got really, 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 really knowing God, when they started kind of growing up and little separation from the family and having to make more decisions, they would make right decisions and wouldn't get caught in the error. Spiritual provisions, and then this, Ephesians chapter 1. Here we go again. Paul's praying in verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What's he praying? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wow, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Where do you get that from? In the knowledge of Him. Isn't that an amazing thing? Do you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation? You know where they come from? They come from the knowledge of God. You see, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It comes from God. So, let me show you a couple of verses here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right, he says, let me repeat it. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. There's a lot revealed in this Bible, but there's a lot about God and the things that He has prepared for us that He's not written down. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, if you're going to learn anything from this Word, if you're going to learn anything from what God has for you, you're going to learn it by revelation. And if you want Him to reveal something to you from the Scripture, it comes by getting to know Him better. I was talking to a young man the other day, and we were talking about Bibles and Bible commentaries and that kind of stuff, and how if you get with the Lord and you pray and you're really trying to find what you need from the Bible, you hit a passage of Scripture you don't understand, that if you pray and you just wait on God, He will show you what it says. In the course of the conversation, it became evident that where he was looking for answers to questions that came up in the Bible were in various commentaries. And he would read until he found one that sounded right. May I tell you something? You might actually bump into the truth that way. If the man that got that from God and wrote it down, and you got it from him and he got it from God, then you got it from God. But if he didn't get it from God and he wrote it down, it sounded good to you, you're going to be messed up. And the only way you're really going to get to know this book is by the Lord sitting you down and teaching you and revealing things to you. And you get that by sitting down and getting to know God. Look in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. You know, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and the Pharisees were just absolutely clueless. They saw His miracles, didn't believe. They saw His resurrection, they didn't believe. They heard His words, they didn't believe. They heard Him handle Old Testament Scripture perfectly, they didn't believe. They heard John's testimony, didn't believe. You know what the problem was? They didn't know God. They said they knew God. They said, we're Abraham's children. He said, no, if you knew my Father, you'd know me. But you don't know my Father, and that's why you don't know me. Look here in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Didn't do that very often. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But here he did. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Would you like to get to know God better? Now you got to spend some time with His Son and with His Spirit and let them teach you things out of this Bible that no man can teach you. Things that are for you. Now doctrine, if the Holy Spirit is teaching you, if the Jesus Christ is revealing things to you, if you're getting these things out of the Word of God over in the privacy of your study, and I'm getting these things out from the Word of God out of the privacy of my study, and they're doctrine and they're taught to us by God, we're going to come out with the same doctrine. But boy, those spiritual things where God uses this book to reveal Himself to you in a very personal way, to strengthen your faith and your understanding of Him, and to give you wisdom by which you can conduct your life in revelation so you know what to do, you're going to get that at the feet of Jesus. You're going to get that by knowing God. And I mean, that's a real benefit. That's a real benefit. And look at something else. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. He says, grow in the knowledge of our Lord. Increase in the knowledge of God. Add knowledge to your virtue. Good. Why? Well, Ephesians chapter 4. Now look at verse 11. The Lord gave gifts. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. All right. When he says for the edifying of the body of Christ, who's he talking about? Talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about all saved people. And where a pastor and teacher are available to you in a local church, then that edifying will be that body of believers that gather together for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, like you are tonight. And you are edified. When you come here, you should leave knowing something that's either been further confirmed in your life or learning something that you didn't know before that God's using to help you grow in your understanding of the Lord. That's the edifying of the body of Christ. For the work of the ministry. I'm doing verse 12 backwards. For the work of the ministry, what would that be? Well, there's a lot of things to do. Like as an example, today, that was a box of 100 Bibles plus some out of another Bible, another box. Lord willing, God will use that and over 100 Bibles will be sown out there in the work and lots of people will be praying for each other and other things. That's the work of the ministry and there's a lot to do and missionaries will be encouraged and prayed for. That's a lot to do for the work of the ministry. But look at this thing in verse 12. Who is that? That's everybody to whom we minister. Edifying the body of Christ, that's the body of Christ and more importantly, the members of a local church. The work of the ministry, everything we're doing in the church. But how about this one for the perfecting of the saints? Who's that? That's you. That's you. Now look what he says here in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and what? And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See how he says here, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. He's saying you don't know all there is to know about the Son of God. Paul went up there and he got revelations. He actually saw things up there and it was not, and heard things up there and it wasn't lawful for him to write. John, when he was given the revelation and wrote all that down, there were seven thunders that uttered their voices and he got ready to write that down. He said, don't write that down. Those were for later. There are things that he heard that he didn't tell you. He says, I want you to get to know the Son of God and what happens to you. Unto a perfect man. So what's one of the benefits of growing in the knowledge of God? Perfection. Perfection. Not sinless perfection in that you ever get to a place where you're not sinning anymore. But if you remember when God chose Noah to build that boat, you know what he said about him? He was perfect. Now we know that he wasn't sinless, but he was perfect in that he was just the man for the job. He was just the man of God's choosing. Job, you know what he said about Job? Perfect man. Again, Job wasn't sinless. We know that. In his own confession, when he finally had that conversation with the Lord, he said, I'm vile. Wasn't sinless, but he was perfect. Why? Perfect man for that job. How would you like to have been nominated for Job's job? Oh, man. That was horrible. That's horrible. But he said he's perfect. And you know what? He was. He was just the man God needed for that thing. How would you like to be perfect? How would you like to be perfect? Perfect fit for the thing God has for you. You know where you can get that? In the knowledge of the Son of God. You got to get to know Him. You got to get to know Him. Now, these are wonderful things. You say, now how am I going to get to know Him? You're getting to know Him right now, tonight. There's a pastor and teacher up here showing you stuff out of the Scripture. And during this, there is a very strange process taking place none of us can see. The Spirit of God is in here. We ask Him to fill us. We ask Him to use this message to help you. And tonight, God is doing something in the life of every person here, if you're not dead and if you're not so distracted that you're not listening. God's doing something in your life. He is ministering something to you by way of revealing something to you about Himself. And He does that all the time. If you come to church, you say, God, I just want to get to know You better. When you pray at home, God, I just want to get to know You better. You read that Bible and study that Bible, say, God, I just need to get to know You better. I've got to grow in the knowledge of God. He's going to show you something. It's all the ways that you know. There's no rocket science to doing it. It's spending time. It's walking with the Lord. But there are some things, listen, that will get in the way of you growing in the knowledge of God. There's some obstacles. We've seen the admonition to grow. He said, grow in the knowledge of the Lord, grow increasing in the knowledge of God. There's some definite benefits. And let me tell you something. I like the benefit package. You know, when you're analyzing insurance, you'll look at the benefit package. You say, now that right there has got a good benefit package. I believe I'm going to buy that insurance. You looked at the benefit package of knowing God, and it's very, very good. But you need to be warned, based on what the Scripture says, that there are some obstacles to you growing in the knowledge of God. Here's the first one, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds. Here it is. Verse 5 is the one we want. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, watch it, how many thoughts? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now this is a real challenge. This verse of Scripture is a real challenge for me personally. I've got one of those minds that does that daydream thing, that wander thing. But what's happened is I've read through this and prayed over this verse of Scripture so long until I've seen something, at least it helps me. When I'm talking to God in prayer or walking with God and you know, just doing what you do when you're talking to God, if something comes up in my mind that is worrisome, for instance, I now can identify it and say, God, this thing is exalting itself against Your knowledge. And it needs to be brought in captivity. When you read the Bible, sometimes something you read, something you heard, something that you're concerned about dominates your mind, so that as you're trying to read and get knowledge of God, this thing is preeminent in your mind. Something about your child, something about your health, something about what's going on around you. And so you're reading, but there's this thing. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. There's this thing up here in your head or here in your heart that is like you're almost reading, looking for something that addresses that thing. And that thing is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. So all the stuff you just read, you just missed. Looking for the thing that's going to address this. And you don't need something to address that right now. You need that thing brought, that thought brought It's a captivity of Jesus Christ, so it's out of the way, and you get to know God better. You get to know God better. There'll be a divine multiplication of those things that He's given you in the way of grace and peace, and all those things that pertain to life and godliness, and you'll figure out with His wisdom and revelation how to deal with that thing, and it won't be what you were looking for. It'll be what He wants you to see. And it's different. It's different. Now, I don't know how it goes in your life, and so I'm going to give you a personal testimony here. And the reason for this is maybe it's like you. Maybe you're going to go, wow, I hadn't thought about that, but you know, you're right. It happened to you and it happens to me that way. So that's one of the reasons. The other is to allow you to explore some ideas about things that may be exalting themselves against the knowledge of God that you hadn't thought of before. And you say, well, man, if that bothered the preacher that way, perhaps this is bothering me this way. During this last political convention, I was curious about what was developing. And I didn't have time, any time during the day and in the early evening, to keep up with any of it. And so I violated a principle in my own life to become informed. Does that sound like justification? So somewhere late at night around 10:30 or so, which is, I'm supposed to be in bed by then, because I'm going to get up early in the morning. It's going to affect what I do in the morning if I don't go to bed by then. I'm thinking, well, I got to be informed about this. Turn the thing on and watch for a little bit, to try to be informed, because we're supposed to be informed. Amen. I'm going to tell you, after 4 days of that, three days of that, my Bible reading and my prayer were affected. Because you hear commentary about what's going on and what's going to happen if so-and-so gets elected, what's going on if so-and-so gets elected, and you start thinking about that stuff. And when you're thinking about that stuff and you open the Bible to read, you're not thinking completely about what you're reading. You're thinking, I wonder what God has to say about what I heard last night. Not much. Not much. Now listen, when you spend a certain amount of time, and I don't know what that is, on television, you spend a certain amount of time on the internet doing whatever, you know, how you justify. I got to be informed. I got to see what's going on with my social network. Whatever that case may be, you do that. I'm going to tell you, that process lodges thoughts in your mind and in your heart, and that process creates an obstacle to your understanding of the knowledge of God, because those thoughts exalt themselves at precisely a time you're to be reading and communing with God. Your children will do that to you. You'll get concerned for your children and oh man, what they're doing or what not they're doing or whatever it is, and thoughts about them will exalt themselves against the knowledge of God right in the middle of your prayer time. You think, well, I'm praying this all out before God. No, what you've done is you've allowed that thought to exalt itself, and all you can talk to God about is that thing. And that's not all there is. And so what happens is the thing that's eating on you becomes the preeminent thing, and there's no addition. Listen, there's no growth in the knowledge of God. You're only getting as much of the knowledge of God as you already had. And He wants you to grow in that knowledge. In order to do that, you got to take those thoughts and go, boom, they don't belong in here right now. He says, weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. So you go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, this thought has to be brought into captivity of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get more of your knowledge, not the kind that puffeth up, but the kind that gives you access to all these benefits. And right now I can't, because my mind is consumed with these thoughts and with these imaginations. Movies will do that to you, and on and on and on. I could list all the things, but I don't need to list all the things. I gave you a simple illustration. Something I thought that I was doing that would help me to be informed was actually competing with what happened the next day when God was trying to give me some knowledge. Now, I can't tell you that that's what happens in your life. I'm not trying to suggest to you that you'd be wrong for being informed like I try to be. It was wrong for me. If I can't get that done by 9 o'clock at night, I can't get it done. Because by 9 o'clock, I got to be winding down. 10:30, I got to be in bed and getting some sleep. So I'm ready for what God has this vessel to do the next day. Are we together on this? Okay. Some of you guys are up there burning your eyeballs out at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, like that. And you're wondering why your prayer life isn't any better than it is. There it is. Hello. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You came to church to get something tonight, didn't you? Amen. Well, you just got something. Listen. God is trying to speak to you through His words, and your thoughts have exalted themselves to where you can't hear His voice. Obstacle. However it manifests itself in your life. Here's another one. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Here's another one. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, another obstacle to growing in the knowledge of God is not just imaginations and thoughts, but this one, confidence in the flesh. If I took a microphone around right now, I said, Bobby, hand me that microphone. We went all around here and started going. I say, do you have confidence in the flesh? No. You have? No, I don't have. No, confidence? No. Everybody say, no, I don't have any confidence in the flesh. Now look, you... More than you think. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 3. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, Paul, look at Paul running down all the things he could have confidence in. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching a law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, watch what he says in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, and they were gained to him. He listed them off. He's telling you, man, I was good at this. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Why? For Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. For what purpose? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. If there's anybody that in a human body besides Jesus Christ that knew God, it was Paul. And he writes to the Philippians to say, I still want to know Him. I want the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He said, what do I got to do? I got to get all thoughts of my own flesh out of the picture. In other words, if you ever go around and pat yourself on the back and you say, you know, I'm a good, man, I am a good Sunday school teacher. I'm a good nursery worker. I'm a good soul winner. I'm a good seed sower. I'm a good reaper. I'm a good giver. I'm a faithful attender. I'm always there. I sing well. Or any of those other things. You know what you've got? You have seen something God is doing in your flesh. You're beginning to pat yourself on the back for what it is that you do well. And guess what's happened? Now that thing is competing for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now you know something? I know that little black thing went somewhere. That little foamy thing went right down here. That's on here for a reason. Here we go. Don't pat yourself on the back. You lose your windsock. Have you ever been in a place where there were two or three people doing a job and the thought ran through your mind that you were doing it better than they were? You I mean, it just ran through your mind. Everybody giggled. You've all done the same thing. You know what that is? That's confidence in the flesh. And that brief moment of thought there about how well you're doing this steals thoughts about the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You know what he did? No reputation. He made himself a servant. And he did not care how other people graded his performance. He was concerned about one person and one person only. His Father. And if he was pleased, everything was fine. And if he wasn't pleased, it didn't make any difference how many accolades he got. It was worthless. Paul said, I am not going to rely upon my Hebrew training, my tribal affiliation, the fact that I was a Pharisee or my zeal for the Lord, none of those things. Listen, very carefully. Each of us has a personality. Each of us has talents. Each of us has things God's doing in our lives. The things you are good at and the things that become your identification are the things that will cut you off from your knowledge of Christ, because you'll be thinking about how well you do those things for Christ. Did you hear what I said? John the Baptist was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's what he said. One time a preacher was training several kids, several young men for the ministry. And one of them really was, he was top notch. Really good. It came his turn to preach at church. And that young man got his Bible and he had it just so under his arm. And he came up to the pulpit and he preached and he laid an egg. Meaning he did a lousy job. And when he came off that pulpit, instead of all, you know, preening like a peacock with his chest out, he came down and he was all bent over like this and shamefully walked back to his seat because he knew he'd done a poor job. And he was waiting, of course, for some instruction or reprimand by his teacher. And the preacher simply smiled at him and said, young man, if you had gone up to that pulpit the way you came down, you would have come down from that pulpit the way you went up. That's so very, very important to remember. That thing, that confidence in the flesh, that recognition that you're doing it and doing it well, that is competing with the ability of the Son of God to reveal himself to you and to you to grow in the knowledge of God. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Here's something else. This is dangerous. It's just like this thing on steadfastness that we talked about at the very beginning of this message. 2 Peter chapter 2 is talking about false teachers and all the bad things about them. Now look here in verse 18. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure. 2 Peter 2:18. They allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What's something that'll compete with or be an obstacle to your knowledge of the Son of God? The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. You know, when you're young and growing up in church, there's a lot of care taken to protect you. The teachers, your parents, the pastors, are very, very concerned that you will grow up and grow up right. But as you get to a certain age and your flesh becomes aware of its lusts, there are those who speak great swelling words of vanity and allure through the lust of the flesh. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to pull you away from the knowledge of God. From the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they are an obstacle. Because what happens is when you get up to a certain age, and I'm speaking to young people tonight here because we got a lot of young people here. You get up to a certain age and you're not aware of this, what will happen is you leave off any desire to get to know God better because you are now pursuing an opportunity to explore what you can do with this flesh. And when whatever it is out there that entices you away from the Lord, what happens is it absolutely interferes with what you know about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've heard of people saying, I was going along with the Lord this way and then I took a detour. On that period of time, when you're in a detour like that, there is no new revelation of God. There is no divine power. There's no steadfastness whatsoever. You are off there going wherever that sea of iniquity will carry you. And Peter says, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And we're seeing that now. And when I studied this and I was being taught this passage of Scripture in Bible college, I was said, now this is all written to lost people. It's not talking about somebody losing his salvation. And I know that, I believe that it's not, I mean, I believe it's not talking about somebody losing his salvation. But I know there are people today who have gotten so far away from the Lord and so deep into sin that to try to reach them with righteousness now is harder than trying to reach a lost person. It's worse for them. And so when you hear people up here from time to time saying what I'm saying, get away from the lust of the flesh and don't let anybody talk you into anything that deals with the exploring those lusts of the flesh. But we're not kidding. Because it can absolutely wreck your relationship with the Lord and wreck your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a lot of that stuff starts in the privacy of your own home. Now, today, unfortunately, there are men in pulpits all over the United States, and they are emboldened in sin, and they are promoting liberty to their congregations, and the congregations are moving away from knowledge of the Son of God into every kind of thing that allows the flesh to enjoy a rock and roll concert in the name of worshiping God. And what they're doing, they're not getting to know God any better. As a matter of fact, they're knowing nothing about God now. Because all that stuff appeals to the flesh. And you have to know yourself well enough to know what is appealing to my flesh that I'm allowing in my life that is cutting off the opportunity for me to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ better than I knew Him. And whatever it is in your life that is that way, you need to cut that off. All right, one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Obstacles to growing in the knowledge of God. Your imaginations and thoughts, your own confidence in your flesh, lusts of the flesh, and this. Wouldn't you have known this? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 34. Verse 34 for the context. Get read right into the case. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Watch it. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know what'll compete with the ability of God to reveal Himself to you? Lack of salvation. If you go to church and you're thinking, I'm not growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, any. You know what? For some people, it's that they don't know Jesus. And you're not going to grow in knowledge of the Lord until you get saved. Now, I'm looking around here tonight and I realize that the great majority of the people in here are saved. The only reason I say with the exception of one or two or three or four other people is I just don't know. I know the testimony of a lot of people, and I know what your wife is witnessing by your growth and your fruitfulness and all those other things. But perhaps tonight we have somebody in here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're sitting here thinking, wow, how am I going to get to know the Lord with all those things He said? You're not. You're not until you get to know Him as your Savior. Turn with me to one other place so you can see this, and then hopefully that will help you. Turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Titus chapter 1, look at verses 15 and 16. This hopefully will help. Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Here it is. They profess that they know God. But in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. There are some people tonight that are frustrated that they don't know God better than they know Him, and the frustration is only going to get worse because they're trying to live a Christian life and they're not even Christians. They're not saved. And if you happen to be one of those that's not saved, then listen, all these other things that I've talked about tonight from the Scripture don't pertain to you. Years ago, they used to have private entry to certain kinds of clubs, and they would say this, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Listen, if you want to go to heaven, is there anybody here that would raise their hand right now and say, preacher, I don't want to go to heaven when I die? No, I'm here tonight because I was just curious about how things go in church, but I don't care anything about going to heaven when I die. Anybody like that here tonight? I didn't think so. If you were, you wouldn't raise your hand, not after that, but no, I don't think so. No, I think everybody in here wants to go to heaven when they die. And you know, you can learn all you want to learn about the Bible. You can learn all you want to learn about religion. And how to live a Christian-looking life. May I tell you something? If you don't know Jesus, you ain't going in. There are all kind of people tonight that have been to church today that know probably more Bible than some of the people here do in the kind of religions they're growing up in where they're really teaching them all this stuff. Now, I'm not saying that they know the Bible correctly, but they've been taught a lot of Bible. And they don't know Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a shock to them when they die. And the Lord's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now the question is, does God know you? And do you know God? And I'm not talking about what you were trained in your religion. I was trained in religion. And I didn't know Him. When I heard a young man give a testimony about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know my testimony. I said to the chaplain, hey, that guy's got a relationship with Jesus Christ that's different than mine. He knows Him personally. I don't know Him. But I got to know Him. And we're getting on where we're getting kind of acquainted with each other now after all these years. Let me tell you something. Worst thing in the world would be for you to come to church tonight and hear all about Him and leave without Him. Well, that's almost rhythmic. Learn all about Him and leave without Him. That would be a shame. Now, I didn't preach the gospel tonight. I preached about getting to know God and increasing in the knowledge of God. We all need to. But if you came here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You don't have to leave here without knowing Him personally as your Savior. It's easy for you to get to know Him. I say this at the invitations wherever we offer the invitation for somebody to receive Jesus Christ. Randy Moran will take you back there to his office and he'll open up the Bible and he'll go right through the Scripture with you and show you what Jesus Christ did for you and how you can receive Him, whereby you can get to know Him. Now listen, there are a lot of people today that pray, and when they do, they say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And they're addressing somebody who is not their Father. Listen very carefully. People who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior do not have God for their father. This religious thing that said we are all children of God is wrong. You're the offspring of God. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're a child of the devil. That's what the Bible says. A child of wrath and a child of disobedience. That's what the Bible says. I'm just repeating that. If you'd like to be able to say one day, our Father which art in heaven, and really be talking to God as your Father, you have to become His adopted child. And in order to become His adopted child, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ has done something for you to put you in a relationship with God that nobody else in the universe has ever done or can do. And without Him, you can't get to heaven. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all to be testified in due time, and He's just now been testified. And this is the due time. And you can be saved. And you ought to be saved. And then when you get saved, what you ought to do is make it a purpose of your life. Somebody said, what's the will of God? You know, I just read one more of the letters from Uganda. You know what the will of God is for you today, among other things? Get to know Me better. Not me, the pastor. Him. Get to know Him better. Every day. And as you grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will grow in your steadfastness. That pull of the world won't be able to pull on you. You'll grow in your spiritual provisions. All the things you need to live the Christian life, you will have and know how to use them. You'll grow in wisdom and the revelation of Him and His will and His word. You'll grow in perfection. And those are good things for us to pursue. Amen. Father, thank You so much tonight for the opportunity to be able to open the words of God and see this beautiful understanding of Scripture concerning knowing You. Lord, I confess to You, I want to know You a whole lot better than I know You now. I really do. I love You. I want to spend more time with You, and I want to be able to get to know You better. And then that way, Father, You stamp Your image in here and get done through me whatever You want to do without any confidence in the flesh. Father, we don't like it when our imaginations and thoughts compete with the knowledge of God. We ask You please to help us to get those things brought under control of Jesus Christ and under the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're praying for anybody in here that might not know Jesus. What a wonderful night for them to get to know You and to be able to know all these things about You and begin to live a spiritual life, Father, with all those divine provisions. With your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, simple question, is there anybody in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus you'd like to get to know Him tonight? We'd be glad for you to be able to spend just a few more minutes after this service with Randy Maureen. Look to those Scriptures, see what Jesus Christ has done for you. Would you listen to the work of the Spirit of God, not this preacher? The Spirit of God is in here working tonight, reproving any sinner of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If He is working on your heart tonight, would you be gentle and yielded to the Spirit of God where He can bring you to Jesus and you'd be saved? So I'll ask the question one more time. Is there anybody here tonight? Simply raise a hand and say, preacher, I don't know Him, but I need to know Him tonight. Just raise your hand, put it right back down. That way, Randy will know and Maureen will know to stick around. Make sure that you have an opportunity to visit with them. Raise your hand. Anybody? All right. Father, we're thankful tonight for what we've learned. We pray that You'll bless these saints and edify us dearly and perfect us through these words that we've heard for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.